You know, I've never been great with math, but the fact of the matter and the matter of fact is I want to talk to you folks about some numbers right now. First number, 2018. That's the year that we're in. And did you know that in 2018, B Plus Player Radio is producing 30 different podcasts, sometimes 2 to 3 shows airing every single day, reaching 10,000 different people a week on 8 different podcasting platforms in 25 different countries. Now, how are those for some numbers? Now, let's talk about some even bigger numbers. I'm talking 100,000 to 200,000 different audiobook titles, stand-up comedy specials, and podcasts that you can only find at audible.com. So head on over to audibletrial.com/bplusplayers and get free access to each and every one of them. Get a free month and access to all of the books, all of the podcasts, all of the comedy that your heart could ever desire. It's on us, guys. You give us the gift of keeping the lights on, of reaching you every single week, and we are giving you the gift of even more audio excellence. So head on over to audibletrial.com/bplusplayers right now.
What's up, guys? It's the Wrestling IQ 101 podcast. We are your hosts. I'm Derek.
Andrew.
And Pat.
And we've hosted some of the biggest stars in wrestling, like WWE Cruiserweight Classic star Sean Maluda,
NXT standout Anthony Bowens,
Impact Wrestling's Robbie E,
and the Patriot Del Wilkes,
WWE superstar JTG,
and Impact Wrestling's Fala Ba. We are the official Indian professional wrestling interview podcast. You can check us out here on the B Plus Player Radio Network, iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and YouTube. Also, make sure you check out our website at WrestlingIQ101.com.
The following program is brought to you by B Plus Player Radio. The opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests therein and do not necessarily reflect the views of this network, our affiliates, or our sponsors. For more information, please visit us on Facebook and Twitter at B Plus Radio. And now,
it's showtime, folks!
You're listening to A Genuine Taste of Wrestling with the genuine article, Sean Donovan. And now, here's your host, Sean Donovan.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of A Genuine Taste of Wrestling. I am your host, the genuine article, Sean Donovan. And normally I have guests on my episodes as I've journeyed into this world of podcasting, but this time around I'm just going to take this episode and be your guest, so to speak, and really just try to delve into a couple of different topics. I've also put some posts out on social media earlier. If anyone had any questions, please throw them out there. I'd love to, you know, give my take or my opinions on things. And you know, since I started this podcast, I really never truly threw out why I was doing this podcast. And really, just to give an overview, the passion that I have for professional wrestling over my 16-year journey, so to speak, has never faded, so to speak. You know, we all go through ups and we all go through downs, but my passion and love for this and learning about this sport has never faded. And the idea behind this podcast is really just to have a conversation. I'm not into, you know, necessarily asking someone where they trained at or anything like that. If that comes up in a conversation, that's great. There are many other podcasts out there that have a format like that, and there's nothing wrong with that. But for me, I just like to have a conversation with those that have really been plying their craft on the world of independent professional wrestling, so to speak, to try to give viewers, or I'm sorry, listeners, the ability to understand what it's like to come up in this sport, really from the ground level. you know, what training is like, you know, what are they going through on drives, all the things that those of us that have been journeying in this sport have to go through to really have an opportunity just to even get noticed by a big time promotion such as WWE or Ring of Honor, Impact, New Japan, anything in Mexico with Lucha Libre. There's so many different promotions out there that you can ply your craft and make a living at. And it doesn't necessarily have to be the number one company. But in order to get there, you've got to show your skill set. And the only way to do that is to go and work in front of live events. And the idea behind this is really just to get people's takes and opinions on different aspects of our sport, you know, whether it's behind the scenes, in front of the camera, in front of the fans. And that's really what I want to bring out, is really just a candid conversation with someone. If it goes in a specific direction, that tends to get a little personal. If they want to delve into it, we can. You know, so many of us have gone through so many highs and so many lows in this sport, trying to make a name for ourselves, that a lot of people don't understand that, yes, it takes a toll on your body physically, but I think even more, it takes a toll on you mentally and emotionally. Every day in our sport is like a roller coaster. So that's what I'm looking to bring out in these podcasts. So hopefully you will continue to join me on my journey as I interview so many that are up and coming that have really good names in our sport. As far as widespread, you know, notoriety, to those that are up and coming, brand new, breaking in, and just really trying to get into their mindset of why they do this. So that's really the idea behind the podcast. I know I'm discussing this as, you know, we're almost, you know, at episode 10 here. So I know still very early on in the podcast game, but not looking to do anything other than just to provide another platform and learning experience. So really just this episode, want to delve into the huge WrestlePro and Impact joint event that was held last week. I really have a lot of fun thoughts about that and how big of a show it was for me for many different reasons. The growing platform of Twitch, which WrestlePro's Brace for Impact event with Impact Wrestling just aired this past Friday, February, I believe it was the 9th. So lots of different things to talk about, and then I'll definitely get to some questions that were left for me on social media and just kind of give a take on what I'm doing. So really getting into Brace for Impact, which WrestlePro held at the Rahway Rec Center. It was a joint venture between Impact Wrestling and WrestlePro that was held last week on February 3rd. What a huge event it was, for many different reasons. I really, truly am humbled that I was a part of the event in a match capacity. But, you know, a lot of the fans that packed the building, and it was a legitimate 1,000-plus sellout. I mean, there was not an empty seat to be found. But this was such a huge event for so many reasons, and it featured a lot of mainstream Impact stars taking on a number of different WrestlePro talents that, you know, we need a platform to show what some of our guys can do, and I think this was an awesome opportunity for everybody involved. But, you know, for all the fans that coming in and see that there was a you know, an amazing production setup, that's what a lot of fans see in really great independent shows. Not to say that smaller independent shows don't do a great job, because a lot of them do, but I don't think a lot of fans really understand really the behind the scenes effort that goes into putting on events like this. So really just kind of you know, breaking down the event overall, I think the show really put some new eyes on the WrestlePro brand name and a lot of the guys that are involved with WrestlePro, such as myself. The mainstream platform, there was a segment with Colby Chaos Covington, who is the number 3 ranked welterweight in the world with the UFC. And there was a segment involving one of our wrestlers on there. And the amount of mainstream attention it got by the next day, literally we were breaking the internet on almost every major MMA website that's out there. Our social media platforms have gained a ton of new followers and a ton of new inquiries and interest in the event. And WrestlePro as a brand itself, as well as Impact. So that really, I think, jump-started the event as far as a lot of buzz. But top to bottom, I think the event overall was phenomenal. I think every match on the event really, really played a part in building to the first ever women's main event. But really an opportunity for guys like Nikos Rikos, myself, Chris Payne, the Heavenly Bodies, and so many others to really ply their craft and show people on a national platform, you know, just what we can do in that ring and what WrestlePro has to offer. And so many different varying degrees and styles of matches that fans were able to really sink their teeth into. And a couple of surprises too. Unfortunately, Eddie Edwards, who was scheduled to face Bobby Wayward, unfortunately is injured, but what a surprise replacement in Teddy Hart. And those two, if anybody knows what Teddy Hart can do in the ring, I mean, he is just incredible. The athleticism that he displays and what he can do from a high-flying standpoint is amazing. And him and Bobby Wayward had a match that was just off the charts. And then Anthony Bowens and Matt McIntosh squared off against Eli Drake. And just as I predicted, you know, the personality and the brash cockiness of Eli Drake really, I think, cemented very well with the high-flying style and hard-hitting style that Matt McIntosh and Anthony Bowens really bring to the table. I really had a knockdown, drag-out fight with Moose that really left some legit physical marks on my body, but really appreciative and humbled to be able to go out there with Moose and show what I can do in front of a crowd of over 1,000 people, and God knows how many more are going to see that on Twitch. And then really the two big matches before the main event, you know, Falaba against Alberto El Patron was, you know, another fantastic match. Every match I continue to see the star quality that is Falaba and what he can really bring to a national platform. You know, for a guy his size to be as agile as he is and to have the charisma and personality that, to me, comes directly through the camera, is amazing to watch as a fan. And then to watch Dan Moff, who has been a staple in professional wrestling for over 20 years, to take on Johnny Impact and in the prime of his career that he is right now, that Dan Moff is, I know there's a lot of people that would say it, and I say it, and I'm not trying to say it because I'm biased, because I consider Dan Moff not just a friend but a mentor. But that man is the epitome of what intensity, aggressiveness, and just overall charisma and personality is in professional wrestling. I mean, it literally is, and someone did say this to him, and I wholeheartedly agree, it's a shame that you are not on a national platform right now. And I truly believe that things happen in life for a reason for everybody, and I have no doubt in my mind that Dan Moff will be popping up on a national platform very, very soon. But all of these matches really led up to the first ever women's main event in WrestlePro history. And former WWE superstar Emma, known as Tennille Dashwood, went one-on-one with Angelina Love. And for a women's main event, they tore the house down. And with the forefront of women's wrestling being where it is right now, this was a perfect opportunity to display two amazing talents that really know what they're doing in the ring. And they didn't do anything short of give the fans an amazing match. Unfortunately, that match will not air on the episode of Twitch, or didn't air, but it will be up online very shortly. through various platforms. Stay tuned to WrestlePro's social media if you're interested in seeing that match, if you were not able to be there for the event. But, you know, I say it was a special event for me because, you know, I've been working for, you know, the better part of almost two decades. And, you know, on the world of independent wrestling, it's very hard to draw 1,000 people with the amount of independent promotions that are out there and with the amount of shows that are running at this day and age. It's very hard. I mean, sometimes it's even hard to draw 100 to 300 fans at an event, let alone 1,000. And to be able to walk through the curtain and see just a sea of fans really just gets my adrenaline pumping. And, you know, to be chosen to be part of this event for me is a humbling thing because it's telling the right people that they see some value in me and that they really believe that I can go out there and I can be a part of their event in a capacity that allows me to grow, but also to be able to walk through that curtain and say to them, you know, thank you for giving me that opportunity when it could have been given to so many others. So riding a little bit of a high, I'm very humbled and appreciative by it. But as I take a step back from it and I look as after the event, as we were breaking down everything in that building, you know, there's so much that goes into producing an event like this on an independent platform, because there are lots of shows that run in small venues and small auditoriums where a lot of times it's just a ring, it's some chairs, and, you know, there's an entranceway. Sometimes, you know, they're not as elaborate, and sometimes they're very elaborate. Some have screens, some don't. And it's not to take away that they aren't trying to make their event look great, because every promotion is going to have their own individual feel from knowing what their crowd and their clientele is. But for an event this magnitude, what really went into this was obviously all the pre-planning behind the scenes of, when you take a look at it, you know, you have a lot of wrestlers that are on this event that do not live in New Jersey. So, you know, first step is coordinating flights for these individuals, getting them situated with a hotel. And then on the day of the show, it's the coordinating of, you know, who needs to be picked up from the airport at what time, who do you and how many people do you need at a building like this to set up? I mean, you're setting up a ring, you're setting up chairs, you're setting up a lighting rig above the ring, an entrance platform as far as a stage, the entrance truss itself, more lights around the sides of the ring. Chairs, setting up tables, making sure that the right amount of tables are available for all the talent to sell their merchandise. There's so much that goes into planning a wrestling event that a lot of fans don't understand the time and effort that it takes. And in order to get all that stuff set up, you need a good group of guys. And that's where you really have to pick and choose the right people for the right areas to set up. You know, if you're somebody brand new who has never set up a ring before, it's probably not the best on a day like this to take on that task. You need the most experienced possible. And then you take the inexperienced guys and you have them help and perform some of the little odds and ends that need to get done to just fine-tune the event. But making sure to stay in conjunction with whoever's running the event to see if they need any additional help, because those in charge are going to be running around like a chicken with their head cut off, trying to make sure that everything is set properly, and making sure that there's no stone unturned when it comes to making sure that the event goes off without a hitch. And this show did it. You know, it had a lot of help from a lot of senior wrestlers really helping, you know, with their experience to make sure that the event goes off without a hitch, having a great lighting company come in for this event and really set the standard really over the top as far as how unique the event felt, how the lighting looked. The sound quality was incredible. So And a lot of that was thanks in part to fellow podcaster Dave Sturcio, who was able to get someone that he works with to have another company come in. And I think you're going to see what an overall finished product looks like on Twitch. As I said, as you're listening to this, this aired this past Friday on the 9th on Twitch. And for those of you that aren't familiar with Twitch, you know, it's available on a lot of different, obviously it's available over the internet, but it's available on a lot of smart TVs, have a built-in app for it. It is available through the Microsoft Xbox and Sony PlayStation systems as an app you can download. You can download and watch it on your phone. But we really started as like a gaming app for those that would record, you know, the gameplay that they're playing as far as how they would, you know, beat a level or whatnot. Has really evolved into another social media streaming platform. And for those that aren't familiar with Twitch, just giving a little bit of a background, it's a subsidiary of Amazon. And for a streaming platform, for how big streaming is these days in the world of social media, I believe it's been around since 2012. I could be wrong, but I know after doing some research just how big Twitch is getting. Towards the end of last year, there were over 1.5 million broadcasters and over 100 plus million visitors heading on to Twitch every month. And it seems like that's going to become a big platform for the world of professional wrestling, as Tommy Dreamer's House of Hardcore already is on Twitch streaming live events. They have their own channel. A few other independent wrestling promotions I've seen have started partnering with Twitch. I believe Capital Wrestling at the end of December of last year ran their first event and it was streamed live over Twitch. So there's a lot of different things coming on in the world of professional wrestling to help grow independent platforms, to help guys get their name out there. You know, I remember when I first started, there was none of this as a platform. And really, the only way to get your name out to a promoter to work for their promotion was to really put a highlight reel together. So that would normally consist of about two or three matches, a promo, and a promotional photo with a wrestling resume, and you would put that all in an envelope with your VHS tape. Yeah, I'm dating myself, and you would send that out to the promoter in the hopes that they would look at it and would want to book you for one of their events, whether it was local in the state that you're living, or if it was out of state, or if you were sending it to those in charge at WWE looking to get an opportunity at the time for a tryout match. Nowadays, social media is so easy. You can upload all your matches, not just for promoters to see, but fans around the world can see it. So, you know, the world of social media has so many benefits to independent wrestling and has helped grow so many promotions and wrestlers. I mean, the advent of social media has helped me grow my platform 10 times more now in the last couple of years than it had done for me, you know, in the previous, you know, 10 or so. And I'm very grateful for that platform. And I try to use it as wisely as I can. You know, my platform is strictly based on, you know, professional wrestling. I'm not going to put out anything on there that is going to be detrimental to my image or anything like that, or put anything on my pages that are silly and that have no impact on me growing my brand as a performer. So, but that is really what, you know, a fun weekend was, you know, for me, for Impact Wrestling, and how much it was for the WrestlePro roster. And I highly believe that, you know, those from Impact that were on the event had a great time too. Those who work with Impact behind the scenes, who were, you know, behind the scenes at the event, felt that everything went off great. And, for those of you that have watched the event, I hope you enjoyed it if you were there live or if you watched on Twitch. And I hope that, you know, you will come to more WrestlePro shows more often, as I think we're going to be delving in a little bit more on this partnership with Impact. So I am very excited to see what it does for the brand of WrestlePro, our roster, myself especially, and how I can grow myself better. So that's really the it factor on that information. Just some upcoming dates where, you know, you can find me at. You know, we have WrestlePro events that will be available again in March. We will be back at the Union Columbian Club on Friday, February 9th. And that will feature former WWE superstar Darren Young, who is now changing his moniker to No Days Off, Fred Rosser. Fred actually grew up in Union, New Jersey, so this is going to be an awesome homecoming for him, as this is his first live event outside of not wrestling for WWE, and I'm excited to catch up with Fred. Many know the history that myself and several other WrestlePro roster members have with Fred. You know, myself, Chris Steeler, Falaba, the Heavenly Bodies, you know, we were all together with Fred in the early days of his rise in wrestling. I believe he started in 2003, maybe 2002. I started in 2001. I believe Chris Steeler may have started his training in 2004. And then Justin Carino and Falaba, I believe, started their training in maybe 05. And then Mark Carino came a number of years later. But all of us intertwined with Fred, as many of us had different battles with Fred back in our early stomping grounds of the Independent Wrestling Federation, IWF, as it was known back in the day. So really excited to be a part of a locker room again with Fred. Just a really down-to-earth, genuine guy that I always had a lot of laughs with working at IWF and other places with him. So if you're not doing anything on that Friday night, come out for a great night of professional wrestling. And then WrestlePro returns to Brooklyn the very next night on March 10th, back at St. Pat's CYO. Last time we were there a few months ago, we sold that building out again. So we're looking to do the same thing again. You know, we have a few more Impact stars. You know, we have Madison Rain, we have Suicide, LAX, I believe, is on the card, and then all the entire WrestlePro roster members will be there. And then I will also be you know, returning to a number of different promotions over the next couple of months as well. I'll be debuting for Pro Wrestling Magic. I'll be returning to XWA out in Rhode Island. I'll be returning to Monster Factory for an event or two. And then really having a lot of fun to see what a new promotion called Wrestling Has a Tomorrow has to offer. The acronym of what? Really, really great promotion that just started out in Rhode Island. Is now utilizing the FET nightclub building, which is an amazing intimate event for professional wrestling. Setup is extremely different, where there are no chairs at all, really. It is all standing room only, and the fans are right up against the ring as well as a balcony. So everything is extremely up close and in your face, and really excited to have an opportunity to work you know, with that promotion. As this airs, their event already just took place on February the 11th, which was a Sunday. And that show will end up getting up on the net at a certain point, too. Whether or not it'll be released free or not, I don't know. But look for that upcoming. I'll be featured in a five-man scramble match with up-and-coming professional wrestler Richard Holiday. Another up-and-coming young star, Casey Navarro, formerly known as Kid Christian, another independent standout for many years, Pinky Sanchez. And then rounding that out, a gentleman who needs no introduction, Homicide. Another staple in the world of wrestling that I've never had the pleasure of getting in the ring with, but I'm really looking forward to what that match brings to the table. So lots for me to look forward to. 2017 was the busiest year that I ever had in pro wrestling. I had 103 matches, and I'm looking to do exactly the same this year. I'm starting out on the right foot, but we'll see what the rest of the year brings and what kind of opportunities, will come my way. So that's really just some of the news that I have for this episode. I do want to get to the questions. Sometimes I have a tendency, and I always admit this myself, to go a little long on my answers, but that's just because of the passion and the love that I have for professional wrestling. So let's see, we're going to get to some of these questions here, some by fans, some by luminaries in the world of professional wrestling. We'll start off with Kathy Hummer's question. Thank you, Kathy. Always a huge supporter of WrestlePro, huge supporter of me, which I greatly appreciate. If there is anybody that I would consider a super fan, Kathy is definitely one of them. One half of the WrestlePro Sign Girls. So, Kathy has two questions. So, anyone at Impact that I want to face but haven't? And, there's so many people in Impact that I would love to have the opportunity to get in the ring with. I'm very confident in my ability of what I bring to the table and what I can do to mix it up with somebody and really create something special in there. But a lot of the guys that just performed on Brace for Impact, I would love to have the opportunity to get in the ring with. Guys like Eli Drake, Johnny Impact, the debuting Sammy Callahan, and even Kongo Kong. I think it is an amazing, huge, huge guy that can move and has so many aspects of his character that I think Impact is yet to really tap into. But just off the top of my head, those are some of the ones that I would... I'd really like to have an opportunity to get in the ring with. And then your second question, match for either the WrestlePro Silver title or the WrestlePro Gold title, which would I choose and why? And most people would probably want to go after the top prize, which is the gold title currently held by Chris Kuehling. But I'm always somebody that looks to want to build myself slowly and build my brand slowly and don't want to just go right into it, because if I do, I feel like now I have to stay at that level for an extended period of time. And obviously in the world of wrestling, your stock kind of shifts a little bit and goes in different directions. But for me, it would have to be going right after the Silver Championship and really proving what I can do with the Silver Championship before going for the gold. So for me, that would be the Silver title. And obviously the person holding that title right now is, as I mentioned earlier, is someone I consider a friend and consider a mentor, and Dan Moff. And, I think having the opportunity after so many years to finally get in the ring with him last year, I got in the ring with him twice, and it just felt magic. He brought another side out of me that I've never, to a degree, noticed that I had. And I think we can create some pretty big magic if we were given the opportunity to do something in Rahway. I think we can really grab the crowd on a different level. And I think Dan Moff can, and I can really show the fans something completely different. So that's my answer on that take. So thank you, Kathy. I appreciate that. Mike Malaro, the news guy. I hope I'm pronouncing your name correctly. Couple of questions here. What advice would you give to someone starting out in wrestling? The biggest thing I would say is you have to be in shape. So many people think that wrestling is so easy to get into. And if that were the case, I think there'd be lines of 100 people lining outside of every wrestling school waiting to get in and do this. And there isn't. And for the simple fact is, there's a lot that goes into it. And it doesn't necessarily mean you have to have a good body and you have to be a bodybuilder or you have to be in that kind of shape. You have to be in cardio shape and you have to be in conditioning type of shape too. And there is always something that has been called ring cardio. And there's no other type of cardio than just being in the ring. There are some exercises out there that you can do on a conditioning standpoint to help you prepare yourself. But the first thing and foremost is that, A, you've got to be in shape physically. Again, mentally and emotionally, you've got to be prepared because of the physical toll that professional wrestling takes on your body, especially in the beginning. You know, when you're taking these falls in the ring and you're learning to get bounced off the ropes or into a corner, you know, it's real. You know, I remember when I first started back in the day, training was a little bit differently. And I remember my first couple of practices when I was actually able to get in the ring, you know, consisted of taking 25 to 50 falls in a row and then having to learn how to run the ropes and run the ropes for, you know, 3 to 5 minutes straight, and then waking up the next day and seeing burn marks on my back from the rope and just completely not being able to move. So that's the biggest advice I could offer anyone looking to get started in the world of professional wrestling, and then that is to be in shape and do everything you can to get yourself in the best shape possible. You know, I look at myself now, I'm not a spring chicken after doing this 16 years, and I've really gotten into doing some more conditioning exercises now to make sure my body lasts as opposed to doing heavy weights in the gym. So it's just knowing your body as you grow and knowing what you need to do in order to stay in shape so you can continue to keep performing at a high level that everyone should want to perform at. And then the last question by Mike Malaro, what do you want your legacy to be? And that's a fun question because, you know, I've always considered myself to be a journeyman in the world of wrestling. You know, I have plied my craft for a number of years, but, you know, have never quite been able to break on through to that other side, so to speak, in terms of really huge notoriety. But, you know, I always want to help give back to what was given to me because there are not a lot of guys around anymore that have the knowledge of the guys that trained me. Unfortunately, they've either retired or they've, you know, gotten away from the business or unfortunately they've passed on and they've passed away. So there's not a lot of that being given, but I think from a legacy for me is just, you know, somebody that went out there and, you know, gave everything they had in a match and left it all out there, you know, from a performance side. But I think from the opposite side of the curtain, I would want my legacy to be someone that is always willing to help anybody grow and get better and take the time to help them. One of the things I love doing is I love giving back and I love to train and help guys get better and add some little things in that I was taught, that by some that are no longer around. And, you know, I think I've said it on previous episodes before, you know, I had the fortunate, opportunity to be trained a little bit by Chris Candido, who was an amazing, amazing performer in the ring. I remember in the early days, just as a side story, at IWF that I mentioned earlier, you know, him, you know, he used to live, you know, not too far away from the IWF training center. I remember there were nights where we'd be in the middle of training and he would just pop into the school, him and Balls Mahoney, and they would just put down their fanny packs legitimately and they would just jump in the ring with all of us, and just work with us. And you would learn so much. And then after training, you know, we would all sit around the ring and we would sit there till 1 or 2 or even sometimes 3 in the morning, and we would just listen to him talk. And that's where you would learn a lot, some of the little nitpicking things and the little specific things. And I had the opportunity to be trained by a lot of others along the way. And I really feel like with my experience that I love training. I hope that's my legacy behind the scenes a little bit, is someone that is always willing to take the time to answer questions or help anybody grow or help somebody, you know, work on different things. So hopefully that will, you know, be a positive legacy for me. My fellow podcasting colleague, Dave Sturcio, I know this is kind of a joking question, but why is KM driving WrestlePro into the ground? So, well, judging by Brace for Impact and how successful that went, Dave, I would venture to say that WrestlePro is being driven further into the ground because we need to explode right through. We need to go all the way to the bottom and explode right through and show everybody that WrestlePro is a great promotion that could compete with a lot. And I really look forward to seeing where everything can happen on a positive platform for all of us involved. So, Raleigh Allen, the Stallion. I love this guy. Him and Sturcio seem to kind of hate one another. His question, why are we giving Daily Dose, you know, let's go back. I'm going to go back to that question here. I'm going to find it right now, guys. Bear with me for just a moment here, and we're going to see about this, question here. But while that's loading the rest of the questions, let's go to the other one. Anthony Zotko's part of, Shining Wizards Network that will, be airing my podcast all the time here. Is there going to be a Daily Dose of Donovan? And good Lord, Anthony, I really hope there will not be a Daily Dose of Donovan. I mean, I can't even listen to myself for more than 5 minutes sometimes. I don't think anybody else can handle listening to me at that given point in time. So I would venture to say I hope not. So... CPA, did I go to the gym or watch Raw this past Monday? As a matter of fact, I did go to the gym. I did 2 sessions. I did a weight training session in the morning, and I did a cardio session at night. Did I watch Raw? If you want to call watching Raw in 30 minutes, then I guess the answer would be yes. You know, Raw is a 3-hour show. There's lots of positives to it. For me, from an entertainment standpoint, there are some parts of it I just have a hard time watching, but I do try to watch and study up on as much of it as I possibly can. So, let's see. What other questions do we have here? This one comes from... girl by the name of Lena, who I met at a WrestlePro show a couple months back in Brooklyn. Selecting the right school to train at. So that's a tough piece. There are so many wrestling schools out there. I got to be honest, you know, with the advent of these different websites and how easy it is to get a hold of wrestling equipment like wrestling rings and you know, entrance trusses and all that. It just seems like nowadays fans who have no idea how to run the business are becoming promoters. And it's just so easy that you can go onto a website like highspots.com and you can buy a wrestling ring and you can get an entranceway, and then you can go to somebody you know in your local town. You can rent out the VFW hall on a Friday night, and boom, you're a promoter, or you can run a school. So, I think the biggest advice I can give to anybody who's looking to select the right school is, you know, A, go and visit the school and take a look at the setup and see what they have to offer. Take a look at how the promoter, owner, or trainer presents themselves. You know, what are they offering? What have they done in the world of professional wrestling that shows some type of success. There are many, many, many great schools that are out there, but unfortunately for the ones that are out there, there are 10 times as more schools out there that are unfortunately not as good. And the last thing you want to do is get hurt and injured, and you have to take time off from your job in order to heal up. But that's the biggest thing I would say is really take a look around your environment. Go visit the schools, seek out opinions from others around the area. There's so many different things that you can do to find out who's reputable and who's not. So if you are looking to join a school, Alina, the absolute best to you. And I hope that you can make it in the world of professional wrestling. So, all right, going back to Raleigh's question here. When someone claims to give you a daily dose of something but fails to deliver on that promise, is it false advertising? Yes, I would actually have to agree with you, because if you're promising to give people something on a daily basis and you do not, yes, it is false advertising. But in defense of Mr. Sturcio, he had a very, very busy weekend, and he had a lot to cover, and, you know, Dave Sturcio is somebody that really is another guy that puts his heart and soul into everything that he does. And while all of you can listen to him on Destruction 101 podcast and A Daily Dose of Dave, it makes me sick to even say that. But, he does a lot behind the scenes on the social media aspect, coming up with ideas for WrestlePro as well. So, Raleigh, as much as you are right on that, I got to give Dave a little credit. He's got a lot on his plate. So I know you're still bummed about losing that fantasy football title, so I can understand where your anger comes from. But, man, I may have to play mediator. Maybe that is a match we can get booked at Creative Pro. Maybe we can get Raleigh Allen, the Stallion, versus Destruction. Maybe Dave can muster up the ability to put the microphone aside and can go one-on-one and come out of retirement. I'd be more than happy to be the special guest referee for that. So let's see. I think we have a couple of more questions here. Mike Winner, I love you, Mike. What is the call-in number? Unfortunately, there really is no call-in number, but I think we may have to get you on the podcast at some point too. Egging me on here, we've got Dustin Carino. I'm not a big fan of flips and dives. What's your take on that? I've said it once and I've said it again. I'm not necessarily a fan of flips and dives in matches, but they do have a place if they are done correctly, if they are put in the right spot in a match and you're telling the right story, then yes, there can be flips and dives. But I'm just not a fan of when I watch matches on shows that I'm on and I just see guys going out there and they're just doing these erroneous flips and dives for zero reason, putting their body on the line to where they can do legitimate physical damage to themselves. I really would hate to see somebody get hurt, and I've seen that on shows before, guys going out there and doing all of these stunts in front of, 60 to 100 people, and what are they showing for it afterwards? A broken arm, a broken hand, broken wrist, separated shoulder, so many different things that can unfortunately happen if you're not careful in the ring. And it's just knowing your opponents and knowing what needs to happen. So let's see, I think we have a couple more. Old buddy Jake White, living in Florida and living the good life, have any thoughts on backyard wrestling? And that's a very funny question. Look, I'm not going to be the first to say that I don't agree with backyard wrestling, because there's varying degrees and opinions. I delved a little into backyard wrestling before I got into training professionally. I didn't, we're all young, dumb, and stupid at some point in our lives. And, I did it for, 6-7 months, Jake, you would probably remember better than me. You've got the videotapes to prove it. But yeah, had a little fun, got a little taste of what I guess you would consider professional wrestling to be like. But, you know, once we did that and all was said and done, you know, I moved on and joined a wrestling school. And as I learned from it, realized that, you know, as much fun as I had, maybe it was or wasn't the brightest thing to do. Thank God I didn't lose any brain cells from it. That's the extent of my you know, backyard time. So not afraid to admit that I, you know, that I delved into it a little bit. So again, you know, we all make decisions when we're young and dumb, but that's the extended nature of it. So and I think there was one more question here. I know there was one here. From a student training at WrestlePro, Tone Gutierrez, I call him Mr. MMA. What's the best advice to give to a newbie in the wrestling industry in terms of putting together a character? And that's a really good, legitimate question, and it's very tough, too, to answer at the same token. You know, we all have dreams of grandeur of what we want to be in professional wrestling, but sometimes it doesn't match up to, you know, what we actually look like. You know, I would love to be that you know, 6'5", you know, ass kicker like a Steve Austin, but I recognize that that's not my look, and it's not, you know, who I am in my own personality. So I think, you know, as you learn the basics of professional wrestling, really just try to let your real personality shine a little bit. And let those that are in charge really kind of see what direction you can go in based on your personality. Now, if you have certain, you know, attributes of yourself, so for example, if you've done some MMA training, well, maybe we can tap into that a little bit and see where we can, you know, play with that a little bit. But I think the biggest thing to do is just to be yourself with the, you know, so many have said, the great idea of a character that fans will believe in you is just you with the volume turned all the way up to a level 100. And that's exactly what I am to this day. You know, I've tried out so many different versions of myself and characters of myself that did okay, but nothing that is doing as good as me finally just being me these days and really tapping into who I am as an individual with, you know, my beliefs and things of that nature. So I would say just continue to practice as often as you can, continue to get into the best shape possible, you know, and when you have the opportunity to be in the ring as you're training, really try to let out your own personality. And again, let those of us, you know, that are a little bit more experienced try to help guide you in the right direction to defining what that character is. So, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you for those of you that listened this week. Again, it was a solo episode. I'm not a fan of doing solo episodes very much, but I think I'll throw them in every now and then. So join me next time on another edition of A Genuine Taste of Wrestling. I am your host, Sean Donovan, and I will see you later.
This has been a presentation of B+ Player Radio. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at B+ Radio. Leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, SoundCloud, and Stitcher if you like what you heard today. And head on over to audibletrial.com/B+players to help support the network.